This summer, we're on Thursday nights, we're going to talk about, our series is going to be in Psalm chapter 119, but that's starting next week. So we'll look back at our Proverbs series. We've been going through Proverbs now. I just looked. We've been looking, going through Proverbs since we started in 2015. Okay. Now we don't go solidly. We interject some other series in between there, and then we come back to Proverbs. So this will be the last one for a while. We're in this section where we're talking about just good advice from Proverbs, and of course you know it by now. What is the key verse in Proverbs? Wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. We understand that wisdom is not IQ. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to our life. Now, what's encouraging about that is you don't have to be smart to have wisdom. Okay? In fact, some of the least wise people you will meet are people that are intelligent. And all you got to do is listen to talk shows or watch CNN, and that'll prove it right there. But anyhow, so last time, a few weeks ago, we looked at number 6. Working hard is never bad for you, and it's the way to having the provisions you need. Number 7, we'll do this one tonight. This is applicable, of course, as we're getting close to July 4th. Number 7, the greatness of a nation is measured by the godliness of its people. You want to measure if a country is great or not. Look at how its people live. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The word exalteth, of course, means to lift up, to set on high. Righteousness lifts up or sets up on high a nation. But sin is a reproach. Reproach is shame to any people. You need proof of that. You can look at God's dealings in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. As you read through the kings, you'll see the phrase there with the kings. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Or he did not that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And those that did right in the sight of the Lord, things went better for them. And those that did not do right in the sight of the Lord, things fell apart very quickly. Now, I understand God's special place with the children of Israel. And I understand America, and I know I've read all the things. America is a light, beacon, light on a hill, and all those things, and all that. And I don't know where we play out in God's whole economy, but this verse is true. One of the reasons America had been blessed since its inception was because of the fact that we were, for the most part, generally speaking, not everybody was, a nation that believed in righteousness. A vast majority of the men we would call our founding fathers had theological degrees from college. Don't believe it when you see these people try to, this revisionist history. No, they weren't Christians. They had, and not all of them were, by the way. Benjamin Franklin was not, but he was a moral man and believed the principles of the Bible. Thomas Jefferson was a moral man. Now, Thomas Jefferson had his issues. He didn't believe all the Bible. In fact, I believe in one of the libraries, one of the national libraries, he took a New Testament and he cut out the words he didn't believe should be there. He didn't believe in the miracles. But although he was not a Bible believer, he did believe in the morality of the Bible. If our founding fathers were alive today and could listen to our politicians, especially those in California, and if they were to happen to watch CNN or MSLSD, okay, they would probably say, we wasted our time. Now, I'm being a little facetious there. But they would be disturbed by what's going on. This verse is a comparison, and it compares opposites. Righteousness versus sin. When it comes to righteousness and sin, those are the choices that we make and the actions that we take. Okay? Now, again, there's no nation that, a Christian nation. Not everybody's going to be Christian. I get that. But I'm talking about the morals and the driving force of the nation. Exaltation versus reproach. That's the results or the consequences. We know that it's true that what happens in life is a result of the actions that we take. And in God's economy, it's also true of the nations of the world. I believe very strongly that America is not in God's good favor right now. I'll just be real honest with you. We probably are the most Christian of the nations, although to me a majority of people that consider themselves Christians are probably not. But we're in a world of hurt. Now, I don't say that to be negative. We're starting Revelation on Sunday, and I'm pretty excited about it. You may not like it, but I'm having a good time. But as I look at Revelation and I see the end that's coming and all the thing and that we win, okay, I don't want to be negative about our country. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be realistic about what's going on. There's victory in Jesus no matter where you live. But we have to face the fact that our nation is not in a good place. Regardless of what secular history will tell you, our country, for the most part, was founded on Christian principles. It just was. Morality was there. Now, not everybody did it, but we did what we could. We were not a perfect nation. Now, once we decided to start to limit God's influence in our society, we started going down. If you want to look at a timeline and figure out when America really went into the toilet, I probably maybe not put it that way, but it is what it is. Look at the graphs of some of the major ills of our society today and where it started going downhill. It started in the 60s. And it coincides with two things: taking Bible reading out of the school and taking prayer out of the school. These school shootings are reprehensible. Okay? And if they catch these guys alive, they shouldn't be alive very long. Death penalty. But it's like, how can God allow that to happen in our schools? We kicked him out a long time ago. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Alma, the first school shooting in this country happened at your junior high, Frontier Junior High School in Moses Lake, Washington. Now, it's a huge town. It's doubled in population since we got married. They're up to 20,000, okay? It's so small a town that when I went there to get married, the sign, welcome to Moses Lake, here's what they were known for. Home of Honey Castro, or whatever her name was. Honey Castro, third runner-up, Miss America, 1982. That's what they were known for. Third runner-up in Miss America. Okay, and the first school shooting in our nation was right there. And it's gotten worse. And by the way, I'm not seeing it going away, and you could get rid of all the guns you want. I just think the hand of God is off. God bless America. I don't pray that. I pray God make America blessable.
Yes, sir.
Because God's not going to bless sin. Now, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm for our country, and I'm for doing everything we can to change our country the best we can, and I'll give you some thoughts about that, but we got to move on. As I mentioned, in the 60s, things went down when the court pulled the Bible and prayer out of our schools. Here's a list of some of the major discipline problems in our public schools in the 1940s. And these are bad. Talking. Chewing gum. Making noise. The type of noise is not necessarily described. Here's one that's really bad. Running in the halls. Okay, this one, people should be shot. Getting out of turn in line. Wearing improper clothing. And then the worst of the worst, not putting paper in the wastebaskets. That's what they were dealing with in school. Brother Paul raised his hand, I wish we could do that at church. Now, you know what some of the top problems in our schools today are? Drugs, pregnancy, suicide, assaults, gangs, and go on and on. How many of you notice a difference in the two lists? What happened? We drop the morality and we wonder why things are messed up. By the way, what they're, and I'm not even going to get on that today. Well, that's a message for another day. What our public schools are teaching is garbage. Okay? It's more a factory to make you a new social citizen than it is to train you for what you're doing. But we're moving on. If we are not blessed in this country, then, to be honest with you, we're probably being cursed. Look at the verse there in Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 10 to 11. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, I want to give you four reasons why a nation is either blessed or cursed. And I'm going to give them to you in question form. They're on your paper there from the verse. Okay? Here's how we should figure it out. First of all, how are the righteous treated? When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. Now, we need two things in this country. We need to, in any country, to be honest with you, we need people that will strive to be righteous, but if we're really going to have God's blessing, because you can do that in any country, you can live righteous in any country, whether it's good or bad, you need a government that does not stop that. Yep. Now, where have we been in America for years? Christianity was accepted. Yeah. If you were a Christian, they may not agree with you, but it's okay. Now Christianity is at the bottom of the food chain. All right. Fact of the matter is, if you're a Muslim, they won't even say a word to you no matter what you do. But if a Christian does the same thing, how come it's only Christian bakers going to court? Go to a Muslim baker, and by the way, they're here. I go see Dr. Peck. That's a bad thought, but anyhow, inside joke. I go see Dr. Peck, and he's over in, is that Buena Park? I don't know where it is. It's past Buena Park. And when I'm driving up is Brookhurst to go to his place, it's like I'm in Little Baghdad. There's a store there, and I'm not anti-Muslim people. They can get saved. I'm making a point here. They're in our country, and there's bakeries there for them or whatever. What if, by the way, the homosexuals won't go in there and ask them to bake a cake? You know what's funny? Our country runs to the aids of these radical Islam and these homosexuals. And if they get their way, the radical Islam are going to kill the homosexuals first. Why doesn't anybody say that? We get up and say we're against gay marriage, not that we hate anybody, because the Bible says it. Oh boy, they ostracize us, but go down to the mosque and ask them what they think. They won't. How are the righteous treated? They're not treated well. By the way, we're thankful that the Christian bakers went to the Supreme Court and they won. But it's going right back there soon, mark my word. They did not win on religious principle. They won because the court said that that the ruling violated their not based on them baking a cake or not, but because they discriminated against them specifically for being Christians, because there was other cases like that. They didn't say that they had the First Amendment right. So it's going to be back in court again. Watch. Lawyers find a way to do that. But they're after us. Remember the worker in Kentucky who just was put in jail for not issuing a gay marriage license? Okay? We're not pro-Christian in this country anymore. Now, it's not bad. I'm not whining. We have it better than we have. By the way, we have no right to whine about that. I'm just making a point, the direction our country is going. That's the point I'm making. You know, you can't have Bible clubs in school, but yet the San Diego school district is promoting Islamic principles and parts of Sharia law. But yet, if you're a Christian, you just want to bring your Bible, they're going to give you a hard time. You'll have a better chance of getting drugs on campus. It's just what's going on. So how are the righteous treated? Well, America fails that one miserably. How are the wicked punished? And when the wicked perish, they're shouting. Now notice that. When the nation makes sure that it's well with the righteous, things are going to go right. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting. That's not vindictive. I think that's talking about because they violated laws. If you violate laws, you should be punished. Amen. Okay? But our government does not do that anymore. And I'm not getting on immigration or anything, but we make it a political, we make certain things political things, and we let people offer heinous crimes because of a political belief instead of just looking at a situation if it's right or wrong. Remember the sanctuary thing in San Francisco and an illegal alien? I'm not getting on illegal aliens right now, but he shot and killed a tourist and he got off simply because of this other fight over here instead of saying, it doesn't matter who you are, you killed somebody, you ought to get the electric chair. Not using it as some kind of political ploy, but that's where we're at in our country.
Yes, sir.
And there's others. I remember many years ago, when I was in Bible college in Chicago, there was an article in the paper, a fella got 7 years for raping a girl. The jury found him guilty. Here was his sentence. The judge got up and said, I'm gonna give you 7 years in jail, but I'm terminating the sentence immediately and letting you go. Here was his reasoning. Because I think that if you go to jail for 7 years, you'll come out worse. 6 months later, he not only raped another person, he killed him. The stupidity in our country when it comes to that. You know, right should be exalted. And wrong shouldn't. That's why I watch the entertainment you're watching. You're watching garbage where they're uplifting lawlessness. And we ought not to do that. Punishment is deterred. By the way, they don't want you to punish your children. Hey, little Oswald needs punishment. Okay? Or else he's going to grow up to be a big Oswald. Okay? And I'm not talking about killing your kids or anything, but I'm just saying they need guidelines. But you can't do that. You got to let, no, little Oswald isn't running it. I was walking, we had to get a refrigerator, so Hannah and I were looking around, and she went to another store, and I was walking to Lowe's. And there was this lady out there, and her little four-year-old was on the ground just throwing a fit. Now, if it was my kid, I would have drug him to the car, and we would have talked about it. But I did like what she did. She sat there on her phone and said, I'm not changing because of that, so let me know when you're done. And she's just on her phone letting the kid throw a fit, like, go ahead, act like that. You're not getting your way. At least she wasn't giving the kid her way. Most of them like, I don't want little Oswald to throw a fit, so I'm going to give him what he wants. No, give him what he needs.
Come on.
Okay, all righty. Next, are the believers righteous? And again, you know, all of these I could have a full message on. I read way too much stuff from what's going on. Are the believers righteous? By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. The upright are bringing the blessing. But guess what? We don't have that like now. The people in this country who call themselves Christian, we've got to shoulder some of the blame, if not a lot of the blame, for what's going on in this country. Yes, we do. You look at all the bad statistics, divorce, blah, blah, blah. You just look down the line, and you do the statistics between people who do not claim any religious affiliation and those who do, and there is not much difference. Now, I understand there's a lot of people who go to the church that call themselves Christians that aren't. And look, the divorce rate and all the other thing rates in a good church are nowhere near what it is. But in general, there are a lot of people that because they go to liberal churches that don't teach the truth, and things happen. And they're not righteous at all. In fact, now the thing is, let's be cool Christians. You know what? I'm not getting a cool haircut. Why? I can't. I'm not piercing my nose, my arm, my toe, nothing like that. Okay, dude, you know, not going to sound like, what was it, the turtle in Finding Nemo. We're not surfing, man. Like, Jesus is, like, totally righteous. Okay, we're not going there. That's not who we are. Look, and I'm not saying we need to walk around like, how art thou today? Doth the Lord bless thee as thou walkest? No. But I'm saying, let's just try to live the faith we say we believe. And it's sad that churches are just promoting garbage. The world says homosexuality is okay and it's spread into some of what we would call evangelical churches.
The church just walks lockstep with the world. We can't stand to get, look, if you listen, I'm not getting on music today, that'll be another day. If you listen to this garbage contemporary music, and some of these idiots like Hillsong are very, very popular, their pastor thinks homosexuality is okay, and he wouldn't even stand up on national television against abortion. And he represents Christianity. That's what's wrong with our country. This statement, and I believe this, if everybody in this country who claimed to be a Christian actually lived like one, believed like one, and stood for truth like one, and voted like one, this nation would be changed in a week. A week. These idiot places like Target that say, we're going to let men, they don't have to cross-dress. If a man just says, I feel like a woman today, and I want to go into that bathroom, and I want to go to that dressing room, they can. Now, I'm not, you don't have to boycott, but when they did that 2 years ago, we quit going to Target. And by the way, a bunch of people did, and their stock took a heavy hit. But you know why they're not out of business? Because the average Christian doesn't care because it's convenient. And I'm not saying if we went against, and I'm not, again, we could look at every store and every corporation and find some reason not to shop there, and we would all die. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not a law. And Target stepped out first and said, we're going to do it anyhow. That's when the time we should have stood up and said, drop dead.
Yep.
Okay. Walmart, here we come.
Yes, sir.
Is next. Is wicked philosophy accepted? I really got to hurry. I want to get through this point. Is wicked philosophy accepted? But is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Wicked philosophies are accepted everywhere. Doesn't matter who you marry as long as you love. Love wins. It loses. So if it's all about love, what if a mother loves her son? Is that okay? No. Oh, I see. So you do have some standards. You just don't want to delineate them. Yep. That's a bunch of garbage. Let's just follow what the Bible said. Gender identity is fluid. It's not. You know what's going to be looked down, what's going to become politically incorrect? It's a problem. Just a couple years ago, I started those gender reveal parties. Those are now seen as bigoted. You know, well, that was the gender I was assigned at birth. You were not. They act like a kid's born. It's like, oh, let's pull it out of our pocket. Is it a boy or girl? It's a boy. No, you come out, you look at the child and say, I know what it is. And it doesn't change. I don't care how many surgeries. I heard this, and I don't know if it's true. Does Jenner want to be a guy again? I think he's already having remorse. Maybe he ought to try becoming an animal. Okay, where's all this going to end? There's so much stuff. Some people love the environment. It's churches. Look it. I'm not a Southern Baptist, but the Southern Baptist Convention is messed up. They just had a big thing. They were for social justice and all this garbage and Mother Earth. It's like, brother, why don't you pull the Bible out and read it? We're moving back here for a minute. Before I move on, let me say this. I saw an article. I read this, and this is our society, and this is where it's going. I think I saw it on Twitter. I read the article. It was a lady, and this was like in a popular magazine. And she was talking about her new house situation. She's married. Her and her husband love each other. And they're still married and living in the same house. But they both came to the agreement that it was okay that her boyfriend moved in. Now, it was okay for them to both date while they're married. He didn't really find anybody else. Now, by the way, they still love each other. But they want to bring other people into the relationship. And so she found this guy, and it's like, hey, I love this guy too. Why don't we bring him to the relationship? It's like, okay. Now this nutcase set her 4-year-old and her 8-year-old down. And in the magazine's like, see, this is so good. Kids get it. And they told the kids, you know, we're going to bring this guy in because, you know, mommy and daddy don't have to just love each other. And the 4-year-old goes, oh, it's like I love daddy, but I also love mommy. And the mom said, yeah, you got it. What kind of, I can't even throw a word out there without cussing. Do you think you are? And now she's going to keep her old husband, but they're going to get divorced so she can marry the other guy, and they're all still free to date whoever they want. And this reputable magazine throws it out there like, oh, isn't that a wonderful story of love? It's a story of stupidity and immoral. Okay. Dinner wasn't real good at the house tonight. So what can we do? Let me give you some thoughts and we're done. Let's raise the next generation right. Okay? Raise the next. Listen, quit watching what's on television and quit listening to what's on the radio and using that to decide what is right and wrong. Okay? Why don't we just follow this book right here?
Amen.
By the way, the world has never really loved it. Our society, for many years, this country was okay with it, but now they're not. So what? They look, let them have the families that are messed up and let us go out there and reach them, but let us not follow that nonsense. You follow your heart. Really? That leads to your head getting chopped off. Let's raise the next generation right. You cannot, we try to help everybody we can in this church, in our society, but all we can guarantee that we have the most influence on are the ones within our walls of our house. So let's start there. Let's not think we have to follow the world. I'm not saying hate them. By the way, I don't hate anybody out there. You know, that lady, and I'm upset with the sin, but that lady who thinks it's okay to have two husbands and both of those guys are dating and she's still dating others and they're throwing that stuff at their kids, that's how, in our society, with all the garbage that's going on and the satanic influence, that's how unsaved people are acting. And they're going to reap the results of that type of lifestyle. But we can make sure we don't reap that. Okay? That's the point I'm making. Let's raise the next generation. Next, let's make sure we live and act like Christians. Okay? Let's just make sure, hey, I'm gonna know what the Bible says. I'm going to be solid in my mind that this is what I'm supposed to do, and let's just do it. Next, let's reach our area with the gospel. Look, these people may talk themselves into it. CNN and all these other networks might try to push people that this is okay and this is just the new lifestyle to live. But when people live that way, deep down in their heart, they're never going to be happy. They're not. Sin doesn't make anybody happy. They're searching for happiness. If Jenner wants to be a guy again, and I don't know if that's possible even, but if he wants to be a guy again, he found out that he swallowed a lie, and that's exactly what it was. That was a lie. People are looking for happiness. They have no idea where it is, and they'll grab onto some crazy thing to get it. And the sad thing is, when they get to the end, it's like, that wasn't it. But we can help them with the gospel, can we not? Summer saturation, we'll see here next Tuesday.
Yes,
next, let's make sure that you are not influenced by our culture, okay? Let's make sure we are not influenced by our culture. See, what the culture tries to do, it sets up all this new nonsense, and then what it tries to do is to tell you is that if you don't follow this, you're weird, and people don't want to be weird. No. We're not weird. What's weird would be me going home and my wife saying, tonight I'm sleeping in the other bedroom with my boyfriend. Listen, if she even hinted at having a boyfriend, his life would not be much longer. I'm not threatening, but there would be, if my wife, you know, I think we should both date other people. I'm like, I know you were taking vitamins. Did you accidentally take a drug? Are you kidding me? Okay. But we can live right. Let's not be influenced by the culture. And then here we go. You won't like this, but that's okay. Let's back the right people when we're voting. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to say this, and maybe don't put this on the tape. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but sometimes people in our church come up and tell me who they vote for, and I'm like, do you have a brain in your head? You've got to be kidding me. Come on. We have no right to complain about who. California is an exercise in social stupidity. But you know why they can do whatever they want in California? Because they have a super majority of liberals. They can vote anything they want because it's going to pass. Because Christians are voting for people who are godly. And Donald, and I'm not saying you should vote for Donald Trump. Well, yeah, no, I wouldn't vote Hillary. Are you serious? Amen. It's over now. I guess we won't get in trouble for that. Amen. Well, he's not a moral person. Oh, but Hillary is. I'm not saying we're voting in a new pastor. Is it going to be Hillary or is it going to be Clinton? Neither of thee. And don't get started on Bernie Sanders. The point I'm making is, as Christians, we and I know sometimes it's like, it's like, do you want to eat dirt or mud? There's not much difference. But we have to at least get the one that's the, and I know some guy, well, you know, they're both not fundamental Christians. I'm not voting for anybody. You just voted for the wrong one. And you can say what you want. You can argue until you're blue in the face, but that's exactly what you're doing. By the way, voting is a privilege in this country. We ought to all take advantage of it. I'm not trying to be political here, but I guess I am. Let's vote for at least someone that has a sin. Aren't you glad that Hillary didn't get in? Who said publicly, if people don't believe in abortion because of religious beliefs, we have to force them to change. That ought to scare you to death. Don't put this on the tape. We have an opportunity. There's actually a semi-decent guy running for governor. Okay? I'm not going to name his name, but his name sounds like Juan. But I'm just saying, we have to look at him. And all the different things. Seattle is like California on steroids. Because they have this crazy thing. So what do we do? Let's just vote for people that, if someone's like, hey, halfway right and the other one's out left field, we have a duty to try to get the right one in. Now let me back up and we're done. That I'm not putting my stock in politics, right? Are you with me? Okay. I don't. But you know what? I want to go vote and at least say, hey, I did what I could. And if everybody, at least I can complain a little. I did try to vote. But we're putting people that are anti-Christian in there, and Christians are voting for them, and then we wonder, like, why are they treating Christians like this? I wonder why. All right. And I don't go political often, but that was that. I love this country.
Yes, sir.
I don't worship this country. I love this country, and I think we ought to stand for the national anthem.
Yep.
And if we have a problem with something in this country, instead of being a spoiled, overpaid, a rock for brain idiot and taking a knee, why don't we discuss it? Why don't we do something about it? So let's do what we can about it, realizing we're probably not going to change it, but we can make some difference. Okay? Let's do all we can to help people. That's the whole thing right there. All right, let's pray.